that told us in the scripture. I've been young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. When you begin, and I'm not going to, you guys do not need to turn right here because it's going to go too quick for you right here. But in this, the psalmist mentions hope over and over to verify what God's word is to those that believe and those that trust in him. Hope, again, one place in the commentary that I was reading from, often does not come natural to you nor to me. And the reason is because David even says that I was formed in iniquity and for sinners and for people that put their faith in Jesus and for God. Sometimes it's a struggle. But yet throughout the Bible, there's many places, again, you guys do not need to turn here. I'm just going to mention these really, really quick. There's several places throughout the Word that re-emphasize and emphasizes and puts an emphasis upon the hope that you and I can have. Psalm 119 and 81 says, I hope in thy word. So we have a hope in God's word this evening. Again, Psalm 131 and 3 says, hope in the Lord. We can put our hope in the Lord. Psalm 33 and 18 says, hope in his mercy. Again, when you look at it, some of the things that we begin to understand in a New Testament context is simply this. That you and I, according to the Word of God, we can see in Acts 23 and 6 that we have a hope in the resurrection. We are saved by hope. Romans 8, 24 and 25. Paul was one of the ones that said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are above all men most miserable. Our hope that we have, my friend, according to the Apostle Paul, it goes beyond the grave. We have an eternal hope this evening. Again, when you think about this, and in the love chapter of the Scripture, in 1 Corinthians 13 and 13, he mentions this, and he says, now abideth these three, faith, hope, and charity. But charity and hope and faith is mentioned in the trinity of what God was saying to you and I in 1 Corinthians 13. There are those today that are living in our world that's living around us according to Ephesians 2 and 12 that simply says in the scripture that they have no hope and they are without God. Could you imagine with me for a few minutes what your life would be without God and how miserable you and I would be in this room this evening if we did not have the hope of Jesus Christ this evening? There's no wonder that the people are in the world that they're living in today. There's no wonder that people are so miserable in the world that we're living in today. When you think about hope, again, it is defined. If you go back and look in the dictionary, my wonderful Vines dictionary that I read from so much, it talks about in the scripture, in the Greek actually is where this came from. It says that hope is a favorable and a confident expectation. Sherry used to remind me, she said, if you believe, you can receive. What's the rest of it? If you doubt, you will do without. Our hope this evening is a steadfast hope. It's got to be a steadfast hope. When Paul, I'm not going to turn there, but I'm going to tell you real quick what it says, that when Paul was, they were going over to Melita, I believe it was. Matter of fact, I didn't even look it up because I knew I wouldn't have a lot of time to spend there. There came a great storm, Euroclidim. There was a hurricane, if you will, or this torrential storm, if you will. And they began to, Paul told them, no life is going to be lost, but you've got to hold on to the ship. And that's as close as I can get to the old gospel ship right there, friend. You got to hold on to the ship. He said, if you hold on to the ship, no life is going to be lost. Oh, it's going to be a horrific wreck. It's going to be terrible. They throwed everything off the ship. They tried to lighten the load, and here come the storm, and it beat upon them. And Paul, again, reminded them in the scripture of how that this particular grouping of scripture said that all their hope was lost. We're living in a world today when the ship, if you will, people's lives are being tossed to and fro. they're living lives of sin, and they're living lives of all kinds of all kinds of wickedness and all kinds of things that I don't even want to name tonight. But my friend, they don't have the hope that you and I have this evening. That's why so many people that you see and so many people that I see are just absolutely miserable. We have a hope. We sing that song in one of the convention song books, and I thought about it as well today. Now, I have a hope. We have a hope. Look at your neighbor and say, I have a hope. But many people in our world today are asking this question because they look at everything around them, and all they see is black and darkness. They see without hope. But we can see, you and I, this evening, and I'll get back into this text in a little bit. Give me a little bit of time and I'll get there. Hope, again, we see this in the script, in the definition of it in the Vine's Concordance, and it says that hope is favorable and confident expectation. He went on to say that it is the ground or the foundation in which our hope is based. How many of you have a foundation that will stand the test of time? I know that. You know that. We know that by the Word of God. Our hope, again, is described as an anticipation of good. You and I, an expected end, a good end that God told Jeremiah when he told him he was fearfully and wonderfully made to give him a good end, an expected end. Can I tell you, my friend, we may be going through some things right now. We may be going through a storm. Your life may be upset. You may feel like you're going through a tornadic time in your own life. But if there's anything that God sent me by here to tell you tonight, hey, is hold on, hold on, hold on to hope, because hope will not leave you. Hope will get you through the storm. Hope, again, is the foundation in which our hope is based on Jesus Christ our Lord. When Titus was writing in the Word of God, in the book of Titus, hope is mentioned. Titus chapter 1, there's actually verses 1, 2, and 3 we can see there. If you go into the book of Timothy, if you go past Timothy, you're going to run slap into Titus. And in this, he says this in the Word. We can see the Apostle Paul there in the Scripture. He says, Paul, a servant of God and the apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after goodness. Now look at this. He says these words in verse number 2, and I love these words. He says, in hope of eternal life. Guess what, my friend? You're not there yet. I'm not there yet. But Paul, again, Paul was writing and Titus was here in the Scripture receiving the Word that we have a hope of eternal life. How many of you have got that hope tonight? He says that in the Word. So you and I this evening, we ask ourselves, where has hope gone? For the church today, you and I ought to be walking in that hope. Hope of what? Hope of eternal life. Life. Amen. Jesus came to give you life and life more abundantly. You and I this evening, we don't have to wring our hands, and you and I don't have to worry. We don't have to fret. The world that we're living in today, it seems like that they've lost their hope. So what do we do in the hour that we're living in to have hope? Are you with me? This is the first thing we do. We rely on God's promises. His promises. The Bible said that God's promises are yea and amen. That I am come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Titus mentioned this here. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world even began. Signifying to you and to me in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 27, because he mentions that in the Scripture. Colossians 1 and 27 reminds us that God, through Jesus Christ rather, that Christ is our hope. Look at this. To whom God would make known what the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ. The world don't understand. I said that a few weeks ago. They don't understand why Martha comes up here and sings these songs. They don't understand that why the girls and different ones come and sing and the musicians play. They don't understand why we come and lift our hands. They don't understand a preacher getting up and saying, why don't somebody give God a hand clap of praise? They don't understand that. This whole world today is in gross darkness. But thank God that Jesus came to shine a light into the heart of man. Every man, woman, boy, and girl that'll call upon His name shall be saved. And my friend Jesus, when Jesus comes in, He gives us this hope of eternal life. He says, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You and I have a hope in Christ Jesus today. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So we rely on God's promises in hope. Again, these are just things I thought about. And then we see here in the scripture of how hope, a hope of His renewed promise to come again. We're on a journey. We're on a journey. I can only think about this when I thought about, when I was writing this out, I thought about the scripture of what this early church was saying in the book of Acts. And you know this as well as I do, chapter 1. We see this, that you and I have this promise and this expectation. Now I gotta tell you something. I guess it might be a little bit, I don't know,